the disciples went home to Galilee. Peter felt restless. It was wonderful that Jesus was alive. But he missed the old days when the 12 of them had tramped the countryside with Jesus and worked alongside him when he healed the crowds. He felt aimless now. "I'm going fishing," he announced one evening. And some of the others, including James and John and Thomas, said, "We'll come too." They set off cheerfully, but as the night wore on, they grew more and more disheartened. They hadn't caught a single fish. At dawn, they made their way back. They would not catch anything now. They could see a man standing on the shore. He had spotted them too. Cupping his hands, he called to them, and his voice carried over the still of the lake. "Have you caught anything?" "Not a thing," they shouted back. "Throw your net over the right side of the boat, and you will," the stranger instructed. Something about him made them obey. No sooner had they tossed the net over the side than it was bulging with fish. They could scarcely haul it back on board. "It's the Lord," John exclaimed. At once, Peter jumped over the side of the boat and made for the shore, leaving the others to follow more slowly in the boat. Jesus was cooking breakfast by a charcoal fire, and there was a delicious smell of grilled fish. "Bring me some more fish," Jesus said. He knew that the disciples would be hungry enough for second helpings. Peter dashed back to help pull the heavy net up the beach. One of the others began to count the fish as they slithered wet and shiny onto the shingle. There were 153. Soon they were warm and happy again, eagerly eating the bread and fish that Jesus had cooked for them.
Well, good morning. Just in case you missed it, here's the story again, in song and in actions, because you're doing quite well with that. Are you ready? Hands ready? Peter and John and James in a sailing boat. Peter and John and James in a sailing boat. Peter and John and James in a sailing boat out on a beautiful sea. They fished all night, but they caught nothing. They fished all night, but they caught nothing. They fished all night, but they caught nothing out on a beautiful sea. There was Jesus standing on the seashore. There was Jesus standing on the seashore. There was Jesus standing on the seashore out on a beautiful sea. He said, "Throw your nets over on the other side." He said, "Throw your nets over on the other side." He said, "Throw your nets over on the other side out on a beautiful sea." The nets were filled with great big fishes. The nets were filled with great big fishes. The nets were filled with great big fishes out on a beautiful sea. The lesson of the story is listen to the Lord. The lesson of the story is listen to the Lord. The lesson of the story is listen to the Lord. Wherever you may be. No, and so, Peter, James, and John, and four others have returned to the sea. They've left Jerusalem after a roller coaster week, starting with the dizzy heights of Palm Sunday, plummeting into the depths of despair on Good Friday. And then they're swept up to the heavens in the glory of the resurrection. Now they've come back to the Sea of Galilee, the place where it all began. Peter decides to go fishing. Why? When life gets tough, when we become lost, confused, or afraid, when we simply can't handle change, we tend to run away. We try to go back to the way things were before, to something safe or familiar. I have here a very short speech from, there it is, a very short speech given by one of the refugees to whom I teach English in Sutton. Alam is a woman from Syria, and this week she spoke to a group of teachers and other supporters. This is part of what she said. My city, Idlib, was not very big and was in a farming area with lots of olive groves and cherry trees. It was beautiful. But now bombs have destroyed most of it. When her husband, Raid, discovered Croydon Market, he decided to buy her a special present. Some cherries. Something he knew she loved. It was familiar, a taste of home. So Peter went back to doing what he knew best, what he did best. He went fishing. Only he discovered that he wasn't so good after all. They fished all night, but they caught nothing. How many times have you had that experience? When something which you normally feel quite comfortable with and confident about turns out to be a disaster. And in a church context, how many projects, ideas, and initiatives with their conferences, committees, and endless emails just don't seem to produce the desired results? Perhaps you've fished all night and all day too and still caught nothing. But then, Jesus, there is Jesus on the seashore. The disciples could see, only they didn't recognize that it was Jesus at first. But they heard his voice. Haven't you got any fish? You notice he didn't say, have you got any fish? He knew they hadn't caught a single one. So now Jesus takes charge. And the disciples do what he says. Throw your nets over on the other side. And look at the result. Loads of fish. So many, in fact, that they couldn't even haul it in. Here was a clear case of a small change making a big difference. How come? It's John himself who says the words, "It is the Lord." With Jesus, everything changes. Night turns to day. Emptiness is replaced by nets filled with great big fishes. The Last Supper has become the first breakfast. Peter's reaction is typical. He jumps overboard and goes for a swim. I've swum in the Sea of Galilee and it's beautiful. But even more memorable was the time when my wife and I, along with our party, shared a meal of 5 loaves and 2 fishes by the Sea of Galilee. Now that really did bring the Bible to life. Our meal was prepared by Palestinian Christians, but it was Jesus himself who served breakfast to the disciples on the beach. In awestruck silence, they eat. Nobody dares ask, "Who are you?" For the only answer could be, "I am." When they listened to him, they heard God, and they knew that he was the pathway between earth and heaven. What should we take from this story? Do it God's way. His way is the best. Indeed, it is the only way. In our mission, in our ministry, in everything that proclaims the kingdom of God. Last week we heard about Jesus the vine. In that same passage we read these words, "Without me you can do nothing." But when we are willing to allow Jesus to take charge of every part of our lives, there's no limit to what he can do in us, with us, and through us, whatever our age, our circumstances, our faith, or sometimes our lack of it. Wherever you may be, do it God's way.